today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Code Pen Radio. This is episode number 226. And this week, we are talking about our export service. We just tore it down and rebuilt it, and now it's super fast and very modern. And we're pretty excited to talk about it. I'm Marie Mosley. I'm the support lead here at CodePen, and I have with me today one of our engineers, Stephen Shaw. Hey, Stephen.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, hey. So Stephen is on because Stephen was the lead on this project. I think the project was in a lot of ways kind of your idea too, right?
It's something that needed to be done, and we, you know, we're trying to build up some plans for the future of export and just CodePen in general. Yeah, there was just a lot of elements that needed to come into place. I think everybody in the team probably touched it at some point because there are so many different pieces that need to come together from the front end to the data and the back end and all of that. It was a lot of work, but a lot of fun to get implemented.
Yeah, it's a really interesting it was a really interesting project for me to watch from the outside. I didn't have a ton of involvement with this one, but it was really exciting to see everybody dig in and like take apart something and make it brand new. So before we get too far into the rebuild of export, we should probably just talk about what it is in the first place. Exporting on CodePen is when you take your pen or your project and get a zip file of it and take it somewhere else. A lot of people use it to take their pen or project and make it into a website somewhere else. Or I know sometimes people will use it to turn it in for assignments. We have a lot of the time students that are taking front-end courses will export their pen, and that's what they hand in to their teacher at the end of the project. So there's a lot of different reasons people would export. Sometimes you just want to have an offline copy or something like that. But we have a feature in the pen editor and the project editor where you just hit the export button, and you can bundle up your project or your pen and take it away. So that in the past has been, you know, it worked, it was fine, but it was a little on the slow side and it wasn't quite up to like modern web development standards. So
it wasn't very flexible either. It was very much designed around two specific services, the GitHub gist export.
Yes.
And yeah, the zip export. So it was very rigid, and those were complex beasts each on their own without really any crossover between the two.
Yeah. And so what we've done now is kind of, well, I mean, we sped it up incredibly. Like, that's the thing for me that I noticed the most is this used to be something that you could press the export button, hit the zip export, and then, you know, 15 seconds or something, you'd have your export. Sometimes a little bit longer if you had a project. But now, I mean, practically not even done pressing the button and you already have your export file. It's pretty incredible. So what went on to make that happen? How did you get this so fast?
Oh boy. Well, there's there's a lot of different elements to it. Like I was mentioning, the first thing that was kind of essential for this was our data structure, the way that we're that we pull pins and other items, all of the data associated with it, and the way we can access that data. We've talked before about GraphQL on the podcast and how we're using that to kind of power things. So kind of modernizing our data structure for these items in a way that really takes advantage of GraphQL and allows us to pull everything that we would need for the export within GraphQL. So all of the original source files, you know, README, and those kinds of elements, as well as the final compiled code that that CodePen puts together for rendering in the iframe or rendering in like the preview.
And so all of that stuff is now, yeah, I mean, we put all of that into GraphQL after it wasn't. Let's just put it that way beforehand.
Right, and that opens up a lot of doors for us outside of export, and that was just something that really needed to happen. And then, so kind of step two of that was moving the actual export process out off of our server into a Lambda function. So basically, the process as it happens now. When you click export zip, it sends over the ID of the item that you're wanting to export, and then the Lambda takes it from there. It queries for the proper data using our GraphQL, and it assembles that zip and uploads it to S3, and then sends back to the client the download link. And you know, there's a lot of little steps that happen in between there to make that all really work. But that's the basic flow, going from user clicking, sending over the ID, and the Lambda queries and gets all the data it needs from our server, and then sends back a zip.
So kicking out to the Lambda, that's where it got fast, right? Like that's the thing that really sped things up.
Right. And it takes all the load off the client. The client's not having to send over a bunch of data to the Lambda or anything like that, which was actually a last minute change. Originally, we had the client sending over all of the pin data to the Lambda. And that was just very slow and very dependent on your upload speed and all that kind of stuff. So we removed that, had the servers just talk directly to each other, and that made it just lightning fast.
Yes, it really is. That's the biggest change that I noticed right away. It's just, I mean, this used to be something I would wait for, and now there's no waiting. It's fantastic. So it's interesting thinking about this in terms of like CodePen as a whole, because we've been doing a lot of things to make the different parts of CodePen work together better. And I feel like this has been a big step in that direction. And it almost like springs from like the work that we did on the trash can, which had some export-ish behaviors in it. I feel like this kind of, those two projects sort of had some, I don't know, like shared knowledge across them, I think, that made the trash can went well and export went well because of these two plans like converging on unified CodePen, which... We're in an exciting time here. Like we're starting to like make everything into one product instead of like millions of little little pieces like it used to be before.
For sure, I think it's all a part of kind of an overarching plan to just like you're saying unify everything a little bit more. There have been just so many different pieces that have been added to CodePen over time, just as there's been a need. But you end up with, you know, all of these things kind of duct taped together and branching off in strange directions. So now we're trying to kind of rein that back in and start out with, okay, what are the core pieces that everything uses? What how does CodePen in general work? You know, as like an input and processing and output service. So kind of taking it back to those basics and pulling everything in. And then that allowed us to more easily implement the trash can or deleted items area and this export service, and is opening up doors for future plans as well.
It's really exciting to see these things come together and to, yeah, like you said, like apply an overarching vision to it. You feel like you're passing milestones each time you do something like this instead of just shipping... Oh, you know, another feature. Okay, you know, cool. It's a feature, but it's so great to have it all part of a unified thing. So this for me has been very exciting to see it go out and to just think about it in terms of like, oh, okay, we can build on this too. Everything that we've been doing lately, I feel like we can look at it and say, this we can build on. And that's very exciting.
Yeah, there's been a lot more intentionality, I think, between everything we've been pursuing lately, which is great.
Yeah. And it's great to do something to improve a feature that people really use a lot. Like this is something, it's one of those features where people use it a ton, but don't talk about it a lot. So we didn't get a lot of feedback about it in the past because it did do the job. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't as good as it could be. This episode of CodePen Radio is sponsored by .tech Domains. You're part of the tech industry, right? Of course you are. You're listening to CodePen Radio. And I bet you've got a side project or an event or maybe even a startup in your plans for the future. Why not put the website for your next big thing on a .tech domain? .tech is relevant to what we're doing, of course. And you may have seen that big brands are going for it, too. The Consumer Electronics Show just switched over from a .org domain to ces.tech because they know the value in a short, memorable, relevant URL like that. Have you got a URL in mind for your project? Visit go.tech/codepen and check to see if your domain name is available. You'd be surprised. There's a ton out there. And when you find the perfect name, you can take 90% off when you use that special URL. That is go.tech/codepen. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. Thanks, .tech, for sponsoring this episode. Another thing that we can talk about that we brought to it now, which is different from before, not just the speed, which is obviously fantastic, is that we've changed the structure of the export. And I'm curious about that because it's a little bit outside of what I'm familiar with. So I'd actually like to have that explained to me so that I can explain it to our members. So talk to me about the source and dist file that or folders that are inside the export.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was before. I've been in this land for so long. I think before it was all just a flat structure. You had like an index.html and maybe like an index.pug and like a, you know, style.scss and a style.css. Like all of those files were just kind of intermingled, and you know, it worked. You could open up the index.html and it was pulling the right files and all of that. But we wanted to modernize that a bit and make it a little more reflective of like what CodePen does and what is needed for the different steps that people might want to take with that code once they export. So basically, in the main zip export, you get a README, you get the license if that applies, and then there's a SRC or a source folder. And a dist or distribution folder. What does dist stand
probably
for?
Probably distribution, but let's just call it dist because we don't know.
Sure. So source and dist. And so the source is your code exactly as you typed it in to CodePen. So there's no processing done on that. It's exactly what is in like the HTML editor, the CSS editor, or the JavaScript editor, in whatever pre-processing language you've selected, so SAS or Pug or CoffeeScript or whatever. And then the dist folder is basically what CodePen puts together to give that preview. So that's going to be your processed styles, your processed JavaScript, and your process HTML with all of the necessary like HTML wrappers. When you're typing HTML in CodePen, you don't have to worry about the head. You don't have to worry about, you know, body tag and all that kind of stuff. CodePen does all that for you. And then all of your external scripts and styles and all of that are handled automatically. So that's what's in the dist folder in the index.html. So if you click that, it should be exactly what you saw in the pin editor and should give you, you know, the beautiful code that you already made.
Nice. So if you're looking at an export and you're like, okay, I want to open this up in Chrome off, you know, just on my desktop, you would go into the dist folder and open the index from there, right?
Correct.
Because that's got everything all pre-processed down and mixed down like you had it in the preview. So that's really cool. I like that because I could see there would be more flexibility there. Like if you have them organized in that way and you have access to both, I think that probably makes a lot more sense for a lot more application.
Yeah. If you're exporting to integrate it into a project, you know, you're going to want the source folder. Like those are the pieces that you wrote that are going to be able to be dropped into, you know, some kind of existing project. And then the dist folder is, hey, I want an offline copy that I can show at my talks or show, you know, to my teacher or whatever. That dist folder is going to be the final code that can actually be viewed in the browser.
Right. Oh yeah. You bring up a very good point there. Exporting to show something at a talk because you never know what the Wi-Fi situation is going to be like.
Yes.
So it is a very, very, very smart idea to have an exported copy of your pen or the pens that you're going to show because they'll be all ready to rock no matter what.
Yes. And one day, you know, hopefully we'll get CodePen to like an offline first kind of setup so that won't ever be an issue. Like that can just happen in the browser as normal and use service workers and all that. And we're making steps in that direction. But for now, the export service is a great way to just ensure that you have your code ready to go just in case.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's always smart to have a backup. I can't tell you how many times I've heard and seen people doing talks where, you know, the AV setup or the Wi-Fi just doesn't exactly go the way you planned. So it's always good to have a backup. So this lends itself to a lot of possibilities for the future. And I think that's very exciting. We actually had a Twitter poll not too long ago where we talked to people about what they do with exports. You know, when they export something from CodePen, what do they do with it? We got a lot of answers to that. And then we were also talking about, like, you know, if you could export things to go somewhere else, like, where would you send them? And I was really interested in that poll because I honestly did not know what people were going to answer. We get a lot of different types of feedback, but there wasn't any one single leading use case that people were giving us. So running the Twitter poll was really interesting. That, I think, was actually our first official poll with, like, the real, like, poll questions on it, where you could actually, like, click a button for a poll. And we learned a lot about character limits on polls when we did that one.
Let's see. We had to abbreviate Bitbucket to BB.
BB, which I'm surprised everybody just knew. Nobody questioned what that was. My favorite little shorthand, though, was Goog Drive, which is very, I mean, I get it, but it just looks really funny. But it turned out, you know, after running the poll, the end result was that the Git-based export was, like, number one with a bullet. I mean, that was,
I was
75%.
Surprised by that. I expected the static, like, Netlify kind of setup to be the most popular. Like, you know, somebody wants to export it to, like, host it and have it, you know, publicly available.
Right. Yeah. I thought that would have been more too. I also thought that we would hear a lot more about Dropbox and, you know, Drive type things like that, because people request that rather frequently through email. So it just kind of tells you about polls. Like, you know, you put a poll in a different place, you're going to get a different type of answer.
Yeah. And the great thing about this export setup that we've been doing is it opens up the doors to all of these options that we had in the poll. We just kind of wanted to know where to focus a bit more next. So, you know, Git is definitely going to be the next big focus of the export service after we work on a few other features for it. And then, we'll continue working in those directions. But it becomes a lot simpler now that we have a proper setup for that with more general approaches to it rather than the very specific approaches before.
Right, yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what are the next things we're adding to this? Because I know this isn't finished. This is just the very beginning of something new here.
Yeah. We have a pro feature that we're working on right now. Can we go into it?
Tell me about the pro feature. Okay. I love to hear about the pro features.
right now the main focus for the export service is being able to continue your work offline. So
nice.
export your PIN and get a build system included that allows you to, you know, continue editing your SAS or PUG or, you know, whatever, and actually compile that locally with just a super simple build setup that replicates most of the features of CodePen there, and, you know, allows you to add in more that you might want.
Nice.
There's a lot that goes into all of that, but that'll be a great feature to have.
That's really exciting, because we very often hear from people who would love to be able to continue the CodePen experience offline. I mean, there are tons of situations where you may find yourself offline and you still need to get your code done. So that's very exciting. I like that.
Yes. I think that'll open up a lot of doors with, like, where we export the content to, you know, if we're adding in, you know, Git export and all of that, being able to include the build process there. So you have a Git repo that's able to, you know, be built and edited and all that as well. Taking advantage of GitHub Actions or something like that to deploy as well. Like, that'd be pretty rad.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's really cool. Yeah, it's great to think about, you know, the future of, making things more simple for developers. Like, and that's part of what CodePen's whole point is. You know, we're making your life easier as a developer, and this is just another step in that direction. So that's super cool. It's nice to get a fresh start on something. And I know that you took out like a lot of old code in the process here. There was quite an excavation happening in the old code base.
Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of the load off of our server by, you know, offloading that to the Lambda. It simplifies our code base a lot and kind of separates the concerns a lot more rather than, you know, putting all of that in like one specific area or targeting it to one specific service. We now have, you know, this more flexible system that just opens up so many doors for us and paves the way to a lot of great features.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I ask everybody these days, did you get to remove any jQuery while you were doing this?
we removed quite a bit of Ruby. I think front end wise, it was already in React land because it was rendered like in the pin footer, which we'd already converted to React.
Oh, right. Yeah, we did manage to do that. So yeah. Oh, you didn't get the pleasure of removing the jQuery. Oh, well,
no,
next time.
Unfortunately, most of the time that I've dove into jQuery land, it's been adding jQuery,
oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
not very much, but a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's been so funny. This year in particular has been the year of the jQuery slay, and just getting to see everybody just so gleefully rip it out. You know, it's funny to me because honestly, I have fond feelings for jQuery. That was the only thing that ever got me to even sort of understand JavaScript in the early days, yeah. You know? So I look upon it fondly, but I understand that it's got to go and that it's on its way out. So it's been interesting to see as we move forward and as we unify the code base that jQuery is being removed as we go. So
yeah, the more that we convert things to React, like the less that jQuery can actually do, because any
right.
of those DOM manipulations that happen with jQuery are actually just going to be overwritten with, you know, the next state update in React. So there's just so much that those don't play together at all. So we really have to, you know, commit to React. But yeah, I'm with you. I cut my teeth on jQuery and
yeah.
and really enjoyed it. I've rewritten it several times just for fun, like replicating those jQuery features. And that was a big learning process for me to learn JavaScript and understand the DOM and like all that stuff that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Which, yeah. It was, I think it was a toe in for many of us. And so
oh, yeah.
it's just, you know, I will always respect jQuery. I know, you know, I know it's a little old fashioned these days, but it got me started and I'll always respect it for that. But by the same token, I completely understand that lots of people who are new to development now are, you know, their first introduction to JavaScript is React and it's,
yeah.
they're having this a very similar experience. So I think that's really cool to see. It's always great to see something like that can kind of take you by the hand and pull you in and show you how to do things. So.
Yeah, and it's a big reason that we have as good of browser APIs as we do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Like the browser vendors pretty much completely copied a lot of the jQuery features
that's
and
right.
syntax
yeah.
and everything to get us to where we are.
Totally. So much of it got pulled into the browser. So it's like it was an amazing tool and I will respect it forever.
Yes.
But by the same token, you sometimes just have to move on from the things that you respect. And here we go into here we go into React.
R.I.P.
Yep. So before we wrap up on export here, do you have any parting words?
Happy exporting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we would love to hear from our listeners. You know, if you didn't participate in the Twitter poll, or even if you did, realistically, how would we ever know? Just tell us what you would like to do with export on CodePen. We're super interested and, of course, super excited to make it even more useful for you because that's what CodePen's all about, making the code easy to do and easy to take it wherever you want. Yeah, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye. Seven, six,
0318.